This is a continuation of the interview with people of the 23rd Armored Division. Same date, same time as all that has proceeded. Sir, could I have your complete name and job title?
Lieutenant Colonel John C. Grant, Senior Advisor, 45th Avon Regiment.
Yes, sir. Sir, how long have you been in your present assignment?
10 months.
Right. Well, sir, could you describe the role your regiment has played during the Battle of Khantoum?
Yeah. We came to... I think we should start it out this way. We initially came to the Khantoum Pleiku area on 1 April and in charge with opening the road between Khantoum and Pleiku and Khantoum.
Where'd you come from?
We had been in Punyon, south of Pleiku. We got to Fire Base 42, about 5 clicks north of Pleiku on 1 April. And for a 22-day period, we managed to keep the road open. And then the NBA really decided they wanted to close it. And on the 22nd of April, the road was closed. We continued to operate in that area until the 7th of May, when we were brought here. During the period that we were at Firebase 42 and operating on the road, we took over 400 casualties. And so by the time we arrived in Khantoum, let's say we're not in the best of shape.
Well, why were you sent to Khantoum, sir?
Okay, to bolster the 23rd Division forces here. And when we initially arrived, we were in reserve and located over where the 44th Regiment is currently located.
5, please, 3-0, go ahead. I talked to Undertaker there and...
Stayed in reserve, I guess, for about... At least the regimental headquarters did.
Replaced and resupplied
and reorganized to a degree. Our battalions very commonly would be attached out other two regiments.
Let's
say, in Canada, the regimental headquarters control. But as far as the regimental headquarters is concerned, we are cooling it for a while.
Not too much
I guess after about 3 weeks of reserve, we were moved out to assume the position relieve the 44th Regiment out to the northwest. We were charged as a defense of the northwest. The main attack came. This is really the second attack came. It hit into the city and hit principally up around the 44th area. We were also hit out in the northwest side of town, and at one point in the exercise, actually on the 27th of May, we figured that we had three NBA battalions around the CP, and they had also penetrated behind us through the main defensive line into like that near out here. And so for about a day's period of time, we were cut off. Single signal intercept messages indicated that the CP area, secured by one of our battalions, was to be attacked that night with three battalions. So throughout the day and through most of the night, we put airstrikes in a circle right around us as close as 300 meters to our forward elements. Whatever the case, apparently the air, and this was later validated by documents that we captured off an NBA body. They had planned to attack us that night, the three battalions. The air on them all day long spoiled it. And the next morning, the regimental headquarters, the battalion that was securing us, and two other battalions of the 45th Regiment, E&E'd out of this area, withdrew back into Khantoum, and then helped to establish their lines as they exist now. So of the three regiments, the 44th, I would say, has taken the most heat. 53rd would be next. And the 45th, by virtue of being in reserve when the initial attack came, to the front, when the second attack came, but not principally directed at us, so we did obviously have our own little heat for a while. But of the three regiments, I would say that the 45th has taken the least of the heat.
Sir, do you have your own artillery while you were out there?
Well, it's all consolidated under Division Artillery and the Adequacy Air Artillery Liaison Types Network.
You're well within range of our
area. Well, yeah.
You had four battalions, sir, or three?
Four.
Infantry?
Four infantry and plus a recon tank.
Recon tank. M41 tanks?
Tanks were attached to us out there.
Mm-hmm.
We did have the American, a section of the American tow platoon attached to us. They were not used while we were out on the northwest side of town here. We did use them in support when we pulled back in on the 28th of May. We did use them in support of our troops as they attacked into the bunker areas up in the Naval Hospital area north of where the 44th is now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sir, what happened next after you got back into the city?
Well, we occupied positions, again, primarily oriented towards the north, northwest, and west portion of the division's perimeter.
This is about what time, sir?
This, what day?
Yes, sir.
This would be like the 29th of May.
Mm-hmm.
We did keep a battalion out where we, where our CP had formerly been. It was kind of a strong point forward of the main line. And subsequent to the 29th of May, we also moved our recon company to occupy the position to the, again, in a strong point sort of way out forward of the western perimeter, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Since we have been here, there have been no major probes at the front. Our 2nd Battalion, occupying the easternmost portion of our perimeter, was used to help clear the area north of where 44th is now, in the Naval Hospital area.
They came in, they're the ones that came in behind the enemy?
They came in behind. We were pretty damn successful to get in pretty quickly. Supported, incidentally, by the American tow platoon, which fired from here and hit bunkers to their front. Again, since we've been on this perimeter, other than this action behind us, and clearing actions behind the perimeter where there were a few VC snipers and this sort of thing located, we were not hit at all to the front. And so our major actions, well, let's say at some point, I can't tell you specifically what day, but let's say the day that the northern area in town was cleared when we began operating to the front. And since that period, and we're talking about like maybe 5 or 6 June, and you have to confirm that date, we have been on operations out to the front and are now out to starting, let's say it started out pretty conservatively, like 2 or 3 clicks from the front, and is now out as far as 10 or 15 clicks.
So, sir, addition to the tow missiles, what other anti-tank weapons do you have organic to your regiment?
The M72, every damn soldier almost got one of those.
Mm-hmm.
We also have 2 106s that were picked up after the main action started. They were not available when the tank threat was here. At least they weren't available to us. They may have been transferred to us when we assumed this side of town.
On a percentage basis, sir, can you give us an average to the strength of what your battalions are at this time, or doing the fighting up to now?
400. I think the lowest it's been. We've had battalions. Our 2nd Battalion at one time was down to about 260 or 270.
So you're saying you have 400-man battalions?
Roughly 400 at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I think personnel-wise, where we've been hurt the most is officers. We've had 2 battalion commanders wounded, one very, very seriously. 8 company commanders, 4 of whom have been killed, 4 of whom were wounded, 2 of whom will be back someday, but the other 2 probably are done.
Mm-hmm.
And they've hurt us pretty bad in the officer wise.
What do you think is going to happen next, sir, as far as the enemy is concerned?
I personally, the division people, I think, have a feeling that they may try again. And I think politically, they're obligated. Let's say from a high-level standpoint, it would seem to me that they're obligated to try again. What I think is going to happen, the orders are going to be issued from Hanoi and maybe down to B3 front, and then down to the division, but I don't think the division is going to do anything. I just don't think they have the capability to come back, and if they did, I think they would be very, very stupid. I just don't feel they can do the job.
Do you have any coordination that you had to do with the RFPF types?
To a degree. And since we've been back occupying the northwestern side of the division, current perimeter, we are responsible on the west down to just to the north of the road that runs out to the west. And the RFPF occupy, are responsible for the road and road and on south. And thus, we've been out there on two occasions to coordinate with RF people. On one of these occasions, my regimental commander and the province chief actually made a trip out on the ground to make that coordination.
Do you have any questions? Are you satisfied with the air support you've been getting, sir?
Definitely. Absolutely superb. I would, in my view, I think the four key factors in the Arvin being able to hold Khartoum are one, and not necessarily in this order, you can equate this any way you want. I would say one would be intelligence, with a strong point being signal intercepts. BC have really been stupid in that regard. I would say two, air support, both gunships and TAC air has been superb. Three would be the Arvin soldier. You know, who else is going to? Yeah, this is going to go back to Arvin Channel. I would say, excluding the leadership in many cases, I would say the Arvin soldier who held his goddamn ground, his NCOs, and in some cases a junior officer, I think is the third point. And the fourth, the VC has fought very damn stupidly. Their whole exercise has not been coordinated. Tanks coming in with no infantry, tanks coming in running out of gas. Artillery that supports them at the wrong time and in the wrong place. And to me, then, those four things, I think, have been the key to Arvin holding contract.
Well, do you think of anything else we should know about, sir, or that, based on what we said we're trying to accomplish here, that might be of value to you?
Consideration after 10 months of being with this regiment. The Arvins, there was some criticism initially, after the 23rd Division got to here in total and became a viable single division operating with its own people. There was a hell of a lot of criticism directed at the division commander and the division in general for not going out and operating on the, on the basis of good offense is the best defense. Well, what I'm trying to say is that from my experiences with 10 months with this regiment, the Arvin soldier is so much better equipped to fight defensively than he is offensively. There's no comparison whatsoever. On offense, the Arvin soldier, let's put it in regimental terms. A regimental commander will give the order. He's a dedicated, fairly hard-charging guy. Battalion commanders will get they're dedicated, fairly hard-charging guys. We'll go down to the company commander who will issue the order, and the troops will attack up to the point where they get shot at, and then everybody will lay down and shoot back and forth at each other. And then the next obvious point of the exercise is just massive fire support, with the commander's desire being to kill everybody there, and then they walk in and get the body count. Fire and maneuver business, none of that. A real hard charging assault, you seldom see that. And it's a weakness that perhaps we've taught them. Give them all this goddamn massive air support and fire support and do it that way, and then they move in.
What do you think about the enemy's fighting ability?
They haven't been anywhere near as good as they used to be. They obviously got some dedicated troops, but
based
from my previous experience dealing with NDA, this is a different breed of cat.
Based on your previous comments about the use of tanks and the lack of coordination and everything?
Terribly lacking. We have indications of BC running, NBA running, which is goddamn rare. They just haven't fought like in the past.
Okay. You said previous experience, are you over here before?
I was a G3 advisor with a 7,000 division in Delta.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not been with American Eagle. I've always been an advisor capacity.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your comments, sir, and that concludes the interview.